Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Caleb, with that being said, the past is the past. You're here now. Ben Johnson has made some tweaks to your game. How have you adjusted to the change in the stance? How have you adjusted to being under center a little bit more?
I guess the Ben Johnson effect, right? He's going to get a kick out of that when he hears it.
It's everywhere. The Ben Johnson effect sweeping the city of Chicago.
How great would it have been for this particular show if he'd have said Ben's vision?
Ooh, yeah.
That'd have been next level.
It is Ben's way, Ben's vision. It's about Ben Johnson, and it's about the 78. Those are the two things that it's all about right now in Chicago. Those are the cool people and the cool places as well, as we welcome you back into the Spiegel and Holmes Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. On the show today, it is Anthony Herron and me, Mark Rohde. We were with you up until the start of Cubs pregame. Cubs rematching again tonight against the Phillies. 5:10 is when the pregame will start. The Bears are having another OTA, one final OTA before the bell rings ahead of training camp, which starts in late July. So let us now listen to what the head coach of the Chicago Bears had to say to the assembled media just a short while ago.
Good 2 days now, and we'll have another one tomorrow. You can tell out there more of a young developmental emphasis with our guys. Less reps than what we've been getting, but still some really good quality work. Was just telling the team that anytime you can get 40 minutes of individual with Coach Roschar and Coach Devan with the offensive line, it's usually a good thing. That's where the technicians come out, and they like to have a little bit of fun. So that's good to see, and it's good to see the guys that turned up. It tells us a little bit of something that they're committed and they want to get better. So with that, I'll go ahead and open it up.
What does it tell you about Caleb that he's here and leading those guys out there?
Yeah, I think he's committed to learning the offense. We're not where we need to be yet as a team, and he understands that. And any chance he gets to get a few more full speed reps, it sounds like he wants them.
What kind of momentum do you think you've created here throughout the spring for the big picture team purposes?
Yeah, I think really I alluded to it last week. There were a lot of objectives we had for the offseason program, and specifically phase one, phase two, phase three, and we met that criteria. I think when these guys walk away, they understand what the expectation level is. I hope that they also understand our coaching staff a little bit better as well. We haven't fully come together as a unit, a full team yet, just offense, defense, special teams, but I think we've made some headway there just getting to know each other because really training camp is going to be a lot about building trust, and I think we got a head start there. But when we come back, it'll be the fundamentals, techniques. They'll know what that's about, how we want to practice, what's allowed, what's not allowed. I think really they're going to take that and run with it. Our vets will. And then we'll really just be able to focus on getting good at football plays from there on out.
Let's stop really quick here, guys. A couple of things that I wanted to throw out there. Ben Johnson, I like the honesty that he is being real. Like, hey, man, we're just getting to know each other. We are just laying the groundwork. This team is not ready for prime time. He had said that in the past. One of the things, though, that you know, I think it was Emma who asked about Caleb Williams being there, indicating, hey, Caleb Williams deserves a gold star because he's at what is essentially a voluntary OTA today. Caleb Williams absolutely had to be there. I don't think Caleb Williams had a choice in the matter. I don't think anybody said, yes, you have to be there.
Right.
But
right.
I'm tired of, like, because I've been hearing this erupt over the last couple. Oh, Caleb's going to be there, and Roma Dunze is going to be there. Like, I'm not saying Roma Dunze had to be there, but Caleb Williams damn well better be there. Just after everything, and I know that he has spoken on everything, that the excerpt from the book, but, like, to me, that's basic, essential, minimal competency.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, does Tyson Bagent need to be there? Yeah, you know, like he doesn't know the offense any better than Caleb.
No, I'm saying symbolically. Case Keenum, I'm saying symbolically.
Need to be there?
I mean, I don't care about those guys. Do you care about those guys?
Not nearly as much as I care about Caleb.
Right.
Caleb gets
all
hurt.
I care about is Caleb Williams. And I'm just like, yeah, that's nice that those guys are, maybe they're there. I don't even know if
there. I just texted the Score's Chris Emma, and he did confirm there was no Bagent or Keenum there.
Okay.
So I just wanted to make sure, just to clarify, because right now, at least the way it's been reported.
No, that's good to know.
It's Caleb, Rome, and as far as I'm hearing, then no other non-rookies were there, which is fine.
No, that's good. That's
but
good.
I don't want to shirk a certain level of aplomb, I guess we should have, for Caleb being there. Now, both guys in top 10 picks and being guys who want to be a future of the Bears, want to be part of the future of the Bears, leading this team to some degree of prominence, then, yeah, it's great that they're there, but it is obviously, as you know, not required.
Yeah,
I know. If they weren't there, I don't feel like they would be getting hammered for not being there either.
But I do think it would be, actually, to build off of that point, I think it would be more of a story, even if it wasn't a story, but more of a story if he wasn't there at this point. Like, I don't think people would be like, oh, he needs to be there, but it would be more like, shouldn't he be there? Shouldn't, like, he's done nothing so far. You know what I mean? In terms of getting to where he needs to be as a quarterback.
Like, he wasn't at the first rookie minicamp, was he? You were there, right? I don't think Caleb was there with the initial rookie.
No, he was not. He was not there for that initial rookie minicamp.
I'm not going to say throw a parade for Caleb being there.
I'm not saying he should have been at that.
But I do think this is just another rookie. And this one, you know, the rookies were at least required at that one. Yeah. Right now, nobody's required to be there at the moment.
Yeah.
So him being there for this,
okay.
I'm not going to make a, you know, again, not parade work, but I'm not going to make a nothing out of it either. Like I like, and especially with Rome, because I feel like I'm kind of, you know, building this chorus of, hey, let's watch Rome here because his rookie year was underwhelming sort of vibe. But between the two of them, them both being top 10 picks from last season, both to whatever extent underwhelmed, certainly neither one of them overwhelmed, maybe Caleb properly whelmed or something, adequately whelmed in some way.
Whelmed, but he
whelmed. But both need to be more, need to do more, need to produce more than they did last season. So the fact that they're not just saying, well, you know, I got my tablet with me. I can go to Mykonos and, you know, just sit there and look through my playbooks. So I can huddle the guys together down in South Beach and we can do our thing at night and then we can go get our work in during the day. No, they're saying we're going to sit here with the rookies. We're going to be coached. We're going to go through the details. We're going to turn this thing into muscle memory. I think that's worthwhile.
Okay. Well, I will now, if I am driving later and I see one of those guys selling like the roses at the lights, I will buy that flower. I will send an extra flower of effort for that. I don't know if it's worth
an
stopping
at the, not a full bouquet.
Yeah, not a full bouquet, flower. Like a hasty grocery store flower purchase, something like that, maybe. Just grab the bouquet that looks best.
Yeah, it's preferable. Certainly preferable than being somewhere else. Yeah, I like this. It's not required, not a necessity, but it's a good thing that they're there.
This is
positive science.
Okay, on with Ben Johnson.
I'm pleased with the progress we've made over the last few weeks. Alluded to it last week. We got a lot of work still to come, but we're right on track.
What will you do during the break, personally, to both get away and then also to lock back in and set up the runway?
That is a personal question. There's plenty of things here going on. I'm still tying down the loose ends of training camp, been getting that schedule finalized. Had a good meeting with the coordinators here this morning on that. So that's really project number one there. And my family's coming in this weekend, so that's a step in the right direction. 4 months without them being here full time takes its toll. And then being in and out of the office, I've always, whether it was as a position coach or coordinator, I viewed the summer as a great opportunity to get ahead a little bit. I think you can get some creative juices flowing as you start studying some of the tapes from around the league and some other places, maybe college ball. So I've had a process that I'm committed to, and so I'll be in and out of the office a good bit, and then at the same time probably get away for a minute as well.
Do you guys expect Loveland to be good to go for the start of training camp?
To be honest with you, I don't know. I haven't even looked that far ahead. We will get that before we officially break for summer, just the expectation for camp and who's going to be full go day one and who we're still limited and working in. So I don't have that answer for you at this moment.
What does Colston know now about being an NFL player that maybe you didn't know when you drafted him?
I think that's a good question for him. I would say I think what I can gather from the walkthroughs, from the meetings, is he's very professional. He takes everything seriously. I think he's going to fit in really well once we start getting him to go full speed. I know Coach Dre's said to me numerous times how impressed he is for the types of questions he's asking at his young age.
Les, how would you describe the progress that you personally made in terms of getting to know Caleb's strengths, getting to know Caleb as a player, as you work to build the offense around him?
Yeah, we've loaded him up. We've tried a number of different things, long play calls, multiple plays at the line. We've dabbled here, tempo. We've dabbled here, there, and everywhere really throughout the springtime, and some comes a little bit more natural than others for him, but I do think we've seen him get better in really all facets, and so we'll have to sit down as a staff before we leave and when we come back just to make sure we're honed in on what direction we want to go all together. But I feel pretty confident the things that he's put on tape that we can go ahead and get after a little bit.
Did anything specifically stood out? Like, well, that really impresses me with Caleb.
There's always a throw or two every single day. The movement stuff outside of the pocket, it's what we thought coming into town here was the ability to create. And I don't, you know, sometimes you get wrapped up when you're in the multiple play call game, being in a perfect play all the time for the perfect coverage, that look of the defense. And really with him, it doesn't matter so much what the play call is. If it's the perfect play versus the first, then it's great. It's there. And if it's not, then he's able to find a way to make it work. And so I think there's a little bit of that that's going on right now and figuring that out. But he's done a great job so far digesting. He's working hard. And, you know, there's still some hiccups out there when you're watching it, some turnovers or needs to play one more time, and that's part of the growing process.
So that, guys, that strikes me as the difficulty of the balance for both Ben and Caleb. Ben Johnson as the play caller, as in some ways the taskmaster who wants to get as much from his young talented quarterback as he can in honing in on the details of the position, the pre-snap processing that's necessary, the getting his teammates in the correct place that they need to be within this offense, but also evaluating the defense and being prepared to execute his role as the quarterback as well as he can, while also not kind of turning into a cyborg. You know, we were talking about being cyborgs earlier with Craig Counsell. You don't want Caleb as a quarterback to start to get robotic. You know, some of these things that need to be muscle memory and to execute the mundane of the position, that matters, and that's got to grow by leaps and bounds, and there's no reason to think that it won't or it shouldn't. But then you do also have what Ben Johnson was just talking about there, that aspect of the creativity, the off script. It's one of the first things Ben Johnson said when getting to address the public about Caleb is that Caleb is different than any quarterback he's gotten to work with before, mm-hmm. because of the attributes he brings to the table physically. So how does he thread that needle as a teacher to make sure that his student is as aware of all the information that he can be and prepared to execute every aspect of his offense while at the same time allowing him to color outside the lines, yeah, you know, allowing yeah. him to paint outside the numbers, to execute beyond the X's and O's, because that's the stuff that made Caleb the number one overall pick. Those are the things that had the term generational talent being thrown around. So he's got to be able to sort of navigate both those lanes and bring them as close together as possible. And I think for Caleb as a pupil, you've got to at times be humble enough to be willing to tell your teacher, yeah, I got this. I don't got that. And it feels like a little bit of that is what went into some of the rookie season where he didn't always maybe feel comfortable saying what he didn't know or where he wasn't necessarily as comfortable. And for him right now, as much as he wants to consume from Ben Johnson, he's also got to be willing at some point. It's not right now. Right now, just ingest all the information. But as the season approaches, Caleb's going to have a very open dialogue with his coach about being a second-year quarterback, still young in the NFL, and what maybe he's not quite ready for yet. And last season, he probably had no idea what he wasn't ready for yet because he hadn't experienced any of this. But that dialogue, pupil to student, you know, teacher to young Padawan, like those things are going to happen from both sides.
And what I want to hear eventually from the teacher, because you heard Ben Johnson, the teacher, saying something similar to what I say and other reporters say when observing Caleb Williams, and he answered the question.
You switched the samples.
To make Provasic. Yes, that's the answer. That's what it is. Oh, my God. No, he says that there's always a throw or two. He said that there's always a throw or two in there where it's like, yeah, that's pretty good. What I am looking forward to hearing finally from somebody evaluating Caleb Williams, including out of my own mouth, is I want to hear students say about pupil, man, there were 7 or 8 great throws. Not just that. Beyond that, I want to hear, wow, that's a third straight really good day for Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. That's where I want to see consistency, and let's kick into gear a little bit, because that's a microcosm. What we've gotten from this offseason program and last year's, and I include training camp in that, is a microcosm of what the season was for Caleb Williams, where you'd have a nice game or a terrific game like he did early on against Jacksonville. Remember
quarter
one thing?
And a half,
a terrific
or something.
Quarter and a half here, but there wasn't enough times where we'd be like, that's back-to-back games where Caleb Williams was great. Mm-hmm. That's 4 games in a row where Caleb Williams is averaging this or doing that. All of the greatness and the really good moments were isolated. So I want to hear more students shining about pupil, but I don't know how it's going to look because of how much developing there needs to be between this coach and this quarterback.
Right, and that is largely natural, you know, right now. The quick leap as a rookie is not something that we're necessarily accustomed to. It's become the expectation for some reason because we've seen it a few times, but it's not what everyone does. It's what we would have been hopeful that this guy did. He didn't do that, but there were a lot of impressive moments, to your point.
Absolutely.
Just want those moments to become more consistent.
Yeah.
Put full games together, not a full half together. Put multiple, but a great month together, not just a great outing together. And just have performances build off of the next.
Let's hear more from Ben Johnson.
You sort of look at it like if he can play on time, then he'll take off.
I think he's going to play on time when the receivers present themselves that way. And if they're not there, if number one or number two is not there, I think he's got the ability to make it right for us.
We saw you guys doing some goal line or near the goal line stuff today. What are teaching points for any quarterback but Caleb when everything's condensed like that?
Yeah, it's tighter windows throughout, and so we emphasize different types of throws, front pylon, back pylon, front line, high back five on the back line throws. And so there's some of those that you're working in a team setting or a 7-on-7 setting, and you're just trying to find an open receiver and fit it in. But then when you're in routes versus air, you can really hone in on the detail of where you want to put that ball and the placement of that ball. So we've had, I want to say, that was our third or fourth red zone experience here over the last few weeks. And so that's always the one I think takes the longest as an offense to get really good at the red zone passing game.
We
haven't seen a lot of Burton since the last day of rookie minicamp. Do you think he'll be ready not to ask another training camp question? And what does he miss in being unable to be out?
Yeah, no, he misses a lot. I mean, anytime you're not out there, if you're in the training room when the rest of the guys are practicing, you're losing valuable time with your coaches, valuable reps with your teammates, the ability to build the trust that we're talking about. It's not just the coaching staff having trust in you doing the right thing over and over, but it's also your teammates. They got to be out there. They got to see you do it. They got to know that the guy right left of them, that they're going to do the right things and they're going to make the plays when called upon. So, I think it's for everybody, and it's a shame that, he got dinged up and missed all that time, because for a young player, it's really where you get the most reps, and you can get better in a hurry that way. So that's really for every player on this team.
I hate to repeat myself, but do you anticipate he'll be good for training camp?
He will, yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's Bears head coach Ben Johnson right there.
Great follow-up from Pat Finley, by the way, just to make, because he did sort of in a blanket, pseudo-blanket kind of way, like, hey, you know, so is Colston and other guys going to be healthy? And Ben kind of specified his answer to Colston not being sure. Finley follows up right there about Burden and kind of pins it down. And so, yes, your excitement about Luther Burden is well-founded.
Well, the way he said it, though, at the end, yeah, he'll be there. That doesn't mean he'll be practicing.
That's true.
That means
that's
that
true.
When we lay eyes on, when we walk, make the walk to fields 3 and 4, and we see stationary bikes Uh-oh. Lined up, and we've all got our binoculars out, I hope I don't see good old number 87 riding one of
fake
those bikes.
Fake news from fishy business, then?
That's what I fear. No, I don't think there's any fake news going on. I just need to hear from some. I need to hear somebody say, oh, yeah, he's going to be out there. He's going to be full
healthy.
Force. No,
full
no, 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 no.
Full go?
No, I need to hear no limitations. Those are the words, because I don't think
you
coaches...
You don't like full go. You like no limitations.
No, I like no limitations, because that is a coach not being afraid. That is a coach that knows his player. I need to hear no limitations.
Grabbing destiny by the throat.
That's right. He's going to get his little rookie legs out there, and they're going to be spinning 100 miles per hour. All right, when we come back, let's react to Ben Johnson. We'll talk more about Luther Burden, and I have a segment... I called for a segment with Anthony Heron regarding the Bears that I will set up for everybody next. And yeah, you came through. I didn't know if you were going to be able to come through, but I thought you would. And it's kind of good and kind of bad. It's about the Bears. It's next on the
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
My, I guess I'll call it my day job. Like, I'm the football guy here at the station.
Well. He is the football guy at the station. I took note of that too. I did. Big Ant. He's Anthony here. I'm Mark Grody. We're in for Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
Jesus, what's your role?
I'm the football guy here at The Score.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. You know what? Actually,
okay, I'll be the movie guy. How about that?
You tell me what my role is here at The Score.
Because
my role is exactly what you think my role is here
okay.
at The Score, and what most people think my role
is. I want to do your role justice.
Is yeah, what do you think my role is?
The linguist. The
I am. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I like to think of that as one of my skills.
I agree.
Yeah, that's a different cat. We'll do that at 4.
That'll be category.
My obvious skills at 4.
Your particular set of skills.
Yes.
Well, no, we got Steve Stone at 4. We have to save it for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do.
We'll do your skills tomorrow.
Okay.
It'll take us that long. To come up with the full list.
A full list?
The breadth and depth.
Oh, yes.
Mark Grody's
it will go on
particular skills.
Nonstop. But no, you're the football. To answer the question, yes, I cover the Chicago Bears, and I fill in hosting a bunch of shows. That's what I do. You know, it's that easy. It's that simple.
Sure. That's going to go on your business card?
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like...
How can we make that a little bit?
We should condense that a little bit.
A little bit. Condensed. Perhaps. Let me tell
just
you this.
Edit it down a little bit.
We're going to talk more Bears here in just a second. But first, we eat. No. Come out to the Lynx Golf Sports Bar at 2116 East Grand Avenue in Lindenhurst on Thursday. We're coming for you. That's June 12th. That's this week from 2 to 6 p.m. And taking the first round of action from Oakmont, the Spiegel and Holmes show will be broadcasting live with myself and Rami Makhlouf, filling in for Lawrence and Spiegs, featuring a special appearance from Chicago basketball legend Bill Wennington from 4 to 6 p.m. Download the Circa Sports Illinois app or fund the existing Circa Sports Illinois app and receive an on-site match incentive up to $500. Plus, you can take a swing for a chance to win $5,000 with a hole-in-one courtesy of the Lynx. It is all brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. So I'll be out there on Thursday. We just heard from Ben Johnson, the Bears head coach, a moment ago, and he ended with Luther Burden. And during the break, you and I were kind of looking back and forth at each other, trying to figure out how sincere it is, or according to what Ben Johnson said, that he is going to be out there. Did you feel confident? Let's listen to it right now here again. Did you feel confident the way the head coach said this about Luther Burden, the Bears' second-round rookie?
We haven't seen a lot of Burden since the last day of rookie minicamp. Do you think he'll be ready not to ask another training camp question? And what does he miss in being unable to do
that? Yeah, no, he misses a lot. I mean, anytime you're not out there, if you're in the training room when the rest of the guys are practicing, you're losing valuable time with your coaches, valuable reps with your teammates, the ability to build the trust that we're talking about. It's not just the coaching staff having trust in you doing the right thing over and over, but it's also your teammates. They got to be out there. They got to see you do it. They got to know that the guy right left of them, that they're going to do the right things and they're going to make the plays when called upon. So, I think it's for everybody, and it's a shame that he got dinged up and missed all that time, because for a young player, it's really where you get the most reps and you can get better in a hurry that way. So that's really for every player on this team.
I hate to repeat myself, but do you anticipate he'll be good for training camp?
He will, yeah.
He will, yeah. He will, yeah. Was that a clean yes to you or no?
It was until you made note of it, but I get the note that you're taking.
Okay.
I think verbally, the words he used, I think, would, you know, they're up to snuff. They would indicate that he's going to be there and ready for camp. But that being said, the energy, I feel like the energy and the intensity, there wasn't a lot of confidence behind it. Now, maybe that's just like, all right, it's lingering, but I think a month from now he'll be fine. So maybe that's what Ben Johnson is kind of going through in his head. Like, he didn't really say it with his chest, because who knows how to predict a month from now and how this soft tissue thing may respond.
That's true. We don't know until we know.
I do feel like, verbally, though, I think the, you know, being the linguist that you are, I feel like the words he chose, he was in the affirmative, affirming what Patrick Finley said.
Yeah, but he didn't, like Patrick even said somewhat playfully, I don't know if that's the right word, but did say at the risk of repeating myself.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't really answer it the first time. Like, this is not about like an indictment on Ben Johnson. It is more of my neediness and my needing to hear something from him. And what I wanted to hear from him in the first response before Pat prodded him further, I wanted to hear, looking forward to getting him out there on the field. He's going to be out there, looking forward to getting him right in there. But no, it's he'll be there. And I've heard that before.
Right.
That's the problem.
I don't know.
And then see him working on the bikes, and then I got to tell everybody they're working on the bikes.
Tanny, Alex, you were listening to the same sound. Like, how did it hit your ears? Before Grody said anything, did you feel a certain way about it?
Get off the bikes. Get on the field.
No, I didn't feel any certain way about it, but when all of a sudden his radar went up, when Grody's antennas go up, like, as Grody kills it out there, asks great questions,
right.
And I know you're probably just kicking yourself that you can't be out there today to follow up on a lot of these
kicking
things.
Myself.
You missed that. You missed that ride out to Lake Forest, I'm sure.
Just destroying myself over that.
But whenever you hear a coach sort of, like, distance himself from the player,
it felt like kind of energy,
yeah.
Right? Like, he's backing away.
When listening to it again, like, he got himself dinged up or whatever, you know, like, that's always like, hey, what's this guy doing over there getting hurt playing football, you know? So like, that kind of was like, I don't know what's going on here with that.
Right, because that's the part too, is that this is a damn headache for Ben. Like, I'm spouting off on all this stuff, putting it out there in the DNA every chance I get. Ben Johnson's the same thing. Jesus, we just got this guy. You're telling me, like, whoever had to tell him, he's got a soft tissue?
Your teammates got to see you do it? Like,
right.
That part of it too, you know?
Right.
Like,
yes.
I mean, it all matters. it all does matter. But Ben Johnson, not shy. Not shy about saying exactly how it is. How'd you hear it, Alex?
No, I think he'll be all right. But I think, Grody, you're at rightfully right now trained with these rookies coming in that are having injury issues to expect the worst.
Yeah.
Because that's been the history of the Bears.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with that being said, I am a little concerned about Colston Love.
I mean, you know, who do we have? We had wasn't Roquan a little banged up at first?
Look, if there's anything the Bears know how to do, Jaylen it's draft Johnson. A hurt guy.
Yep.
Nobody drops a hurt guy like the Bears.
I do like your Roquan example because Roquan didn't have any preseason, I don't think.
No, he's Roquan Smith.
His first play, they dialed him up. Dialed him up, blitzed, and against the Packers.
His wasn't an injury; it was a holdout, though, right?
His was a holdout. Okay. Correct. Yeah, but, he had that weird stuff. He had that
Jaylen
stuff.
Jaylen had
there.
The shoulders.
Remember, they were haggling over if he gets fined
the
for
offset language, wasn't it?
The offset language in terms of roughing penalties and things like that.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was. But yeah, his first game, he gets up in there. They dial. He comes into
he got
the
up
game.
In there, right?
He got up in there, a sack. On his first play of the game. So, no, I needed to hear that. I needed to lean on the idea that he could do this. But to the point, like, this is supposed to be the year, right? And it still very well could be where you had coming in, like, you got some nice, talented players before you drafted Colston Loveland and Luther Burden, right? I mean, we know Roma Dunze looks like a guy who could be really good. DJ Moore is a guy who we know is really good.
Right.
We know Cole Kmet can be really good at times. So there's all the – but now you're bringing in this next level of guys, specifically Burden and Loveland, who will push those guys and provide more options. And it feels like those two guys – like, because Roma Dunze had to be like – and I haven't asked him this yet. He kind of had to be like, what the heck's going on? Oh, you guys are drafting a wide receiver in the second round? Like, do we need that? You know what I mean? He's got to be looking over his shoulder a little bit because now the ball gets spread around. Yeah, well, I think it's good, and that's why it's part of this is why it sucks that Colston Loveland and Luther Burden have been out. Hopefully they will both be back for training camp, which they could be, but it would be just so bad if, like, they were limited throughout that because then you're just taking away all of these potential weapons, or at least delaying the effectiveness of them.
I know evaluating the semantics of Ben Johnson is kind of killing all our time. To hear from Colston Loveland, I assume we'll still do it in a moment or next segment or whatever. But my honest interpretation of it, my impression, because of the uncertainty with soft tissue issues and the fact that Luther Burden is not healthy enough to return yet, I would imagine the hesitant energy that's delivered by Ben Johnson in that moment is that logically, it would make sense for Luther Burden to be available by camp, but it ain't Ben Johnson's hamstring or groin or whatever it
right,
is.
Right.
So he can't fully say with certainty because Luther Burden isn't healthy yet, but they expect that he'll be healthy by
right.
camp. That's how I interpret it.
And it's that little bit of gray. You're right. You're absolutely right about that. What else was Ben Johnson going to say? How else was he going to be able to say it? But it is that understood gray area that bothers me. Mm. You know what I mean? That all signs look good. And they have said nothing but from the moment that these guys were either hurt or drafted in Colston Loveland's case, that they're going to be fine, that they will be good to go by training camp. So, but it is, and maybe, again, it's trauma that I shouldn't bring into the conversation, or trauma's
you're
not the right word.
Your trauma.
It's actual evidence. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've had a front row seat for a lot of this throughout my career, and seeing what has gone on and seeing what
happens
to the players. And Kevin White, another great example right there. Boy, yeah, I mean,
there's too many of them.
The combination of injured and just, you're not actually that good. that part has hurt us as well. There is something that it usually occurs when you come on the radio here, Anthony Herron. Do we want to do this? Or do we want to get going to this right now? Okay. Oh, we can. Yes? Oh, we break. Okay. Yes.
Boop,
so
boop,
here is
boop,
what's...
Boop.
Here is what is about to happen.
I don't know if anybody on Twitch could see. Like, Tanny and Alex were breakdancing. That's exactly what they were.
Oh, by all means, break.
This is something we got to tease.
Oh, yeah. I thought so.
This is one of the best ideas I've heard.
Electric
Boogaloo.
thought so.
Grody,
man.
As soon as you said it in the meeting, I'm like, yes.
3:45.
Put the cardboard out, throwing the salt on the ground.
Yeah. Ant's like, we'll hear from Colson Love. Like, nah, no, we won't.
Not this time. Not on my watch.
No, we got something that I always anticipate that will occur when Anthony Herron comes in. It might be a good part of his personality or a bad part of his personality. Mm. We'll explore and drill into this next, coming up on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
How you doing, buddy? Have a good day. All right. Mark Rohde and Anthony Herron in today, talking about the Bears. One thing about Big Ant. Let me just break it down like this with Anthony Herron when it comes to some of his style around here at The Score. And he is our football guy, very valuable member of WSCR, The Score.
I guess I'll call it my day job. Like, I'm the football guy here at the station.
Yep, that was Anthony Herron boasting his credentials to Craig Council. I don't know if you were trying to impress Craig.
Maybe I should be the movie guy.
You were trying to get on the same level as Craig. You're like, oh, we've got a boss here. You're like, let me act like a boss.
I want him to teach me baseball, I guess, is what I was going for there. Like, teach me a little baseball.
Like, you're
here.
The dumb football
this
guy.
This isn't my wheelhouse. Like, spread some knowledge. Let me know, what I don't know about your game.
Right.
This little round ball you throw around, this baseball. Mine is oblong. I don't really get it.
That's hilarious, because you did that actually with humility in mind. Like, teach me, I'm the dumb football guy. While Tanny and I seem to have heard it as boasting your credentials, letting The Score know who you are. Here he is. He is The Score's football expert. Honor him. Love him.
I see what you mean.
The light is shining on you. Right. You didn't get where we were coming from.
No, I didn't. I didn't. But now I understand. I understand what you're going for there.
No. I didn't think you were
getting
our vibe.
I guess it's kind of like the Ben Johnson thing. It's kind of like that. It's just open to interpretation.
Yes, as it is when... So Anthony Herron, all of that said, what I've noticed about Anthony Herron is that, he's sporadic here at The Score.
Mm-hmm.
You host what, on
That's
average?
My role. That's actually... I'm not the football guy. I'm the sporadic guy at the station. That's my thing here.
But you do listen a lot.
Oh.
And so then...
P1, whatever that
you
means.
You are a P1. You punch button number
I'll
one.
Have
it's
you
a
guys
preset.
Teach me. I've heard that term so much over the years. I have no idea.
It's preset,
what
like
that means.
Little button on your radio that says number one. That's preset number one.
That's so much simpler than
and,
I thought it was going
to
be.
And we refer to that as like, the person who would be a P1 is like someone who listens to The Score all the time, every day.
So
like someone
it's
in that.
Your preset, in your number one spot, you're a P1 Score listener. If you have The Score, ooh, so I'm like a... P5.
What?
I know.
P5.
I got other stuff.
Let's try to think of the other radio stations that Anthony Herron is listening to. B96.
I was like, based off of how frequent, I'm thinking there's some metrics involved with this. How frequently you listen to this station, and do you have like the boxes that rate everything?
I'm a P1. I've been a P1 for a long time. And it's soundtrack. It's just, it's on, it's where you're going. It's what you need, because if you want to stay on top of the right now in Chicago sports, it's The Score.
All the stuff. stuff. It's all the latest and greatest Chicago sports stuff.
So Anthony Herron, when he does come on the radio in a sporadic fashion, what he tends to do is correct the record, as in, because he is the football expert here of the station. He corrects the record. He tells us what we've gotten wrong. Like, and sometimes he'll text us during shows to tell us very nicely what we got wrong. So I thought to myself as I was talking to Tanny and Alex backstage before you got there, because, you know, you were late.
That's what I do.
As I was saying, I said, we got to do, I bet Anthony will come in here and he'll have something that we're getting wrong that he wants to correct the record. And you couldn't have had something more quickly when we asked the question to make all of what you were about to hear possible. Anthony Herron, what have we gotten wrong in Bearsdom?
I've heard all this celebration, all this hullabaloo.
Hullabaloo.
Close. about the way that Ben Johnson and his staff.
Hullabaloo.
They're coaching hard. Yeah, they're just out there. They're spitting. They're cursing. They're yelling. The volume of these coaches who are coaching football. I've never heard anything like all the coaching that the coaches are coaching. It's so coachy the way that they're coaching all the players who need coaching and they're being coached. I don't know, man. Like, y'all been at football practices before. Was it really that silent before? Was it really so different before? Like, they came in, they're implementing new systems on each side of the football. There's a lot of young talent. There's a lot of guys in their first couple years in the National Football League who do require instruction on what they're doing, and most of them did it poorly last season. Even the really expensive guys, most of them did it poorly last year. Then you got new guys coming in from all their championship pedigree and postseason appearances they brought from elsewhere. They're here and they're yelling too. So I'm sure practices are a little bit louder right now than they were last season in the third season of the previous regime. But I don't know. A practice with a bit more volume. It does not strike me as anything that out of the norm by the fact that the coaches are teaching people football. That is what they're employed to do.
Right. And to add to your point, and you're right for the most part. I mean, it is a story. It is true that we are hearing this head coach, like literally hearing this head coach more than his predecessor, Matt Eberflus, in terms of hearing his voice on the practice field, stopping plays, correcting players. That stuff is all very real. In terms of where we, the media, have taken it to have some greater meaning, that's where the fault is. Because right now, the practices, the way they're organized, the way they have moved, the speed at which they have practiced, the errors that they make, and the good plays that they make, nothing has looked very different from what I saw in OTAs under Matt Eberflus last year. Remember, here's the comp for that. When Matt Eberflus first came in, we were all enthralled with two things. You had the fact that he had these fast practices.
Track shoes ready.
That's all that needed to be said. Get those. And we did make a big deal out of it. And we were taught, like, players, oh, man, yeah, that Flus really had us going. And then the other thing was the hits principle. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, who gets a loaf right there? And we're all in the media trying to figure out what's what, and does it really mean anything for the offense? So all of that jubilant change and regeneration or refreshing of the page existed in the beginning of Flus. So this is different. But, like, should it be stacked up as a lead story? Probably not.
I remember the very first Matt Eberflus preseason home game, standing there with our mutual friend, Lou Canellis. We're over there, Fox 32. Bears preseason game has ended. We're doing some post-game coverage over for the station. I made a big deal out of Matt Eberflus and how organized the preseason game was and the lack of penalties that were there and how clean and crisp everything was. And I called out the sports nerds at the Score, Danny Parkins and Dan Bernstein, all these guys who were talking about Matt Eberflus wasn't smart. You know what? This team is organized. And he got fired like 2 minutes later. So we'll see.
It does happen. When we return, guess who's coming on with us? We're going to talk to White Sox broadcaster Steve Stone about the White Sox. Believe it or not, there are lots of things to talk about with the White Sox, whether it be potential ownership down the road, the Grant Taylor call-up. We'll talk to Steve Stone next here on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.